Welcome to this month's special guest interview. This month, I'm very pleased to have Alexander Suaste as my special expert guest. Alexander has dedicated his life to fitness and a career in physical education. With 22 years of experience in martial arts, coaching, and personal training, Alexander has worked with many high-level professionals, including actors, musicians, athletes, models, bodybuilders, stunt persons, police and firefighters, business executives, and young people. Alexander has acquired 3 black belts and can provide instruction in 3 different styles of kung fu. He is a licensed personal trainer with many years of teaching and is a strong proponent of natural medicine, sports nutrition, and natural health products. Good morning, Alex, and welcome to this month's edition of SNU.
Oh, good morning, Courtney. It's very nice to be here with you.
You know, all of our listeners like to know who our guests are, so maybe you can tell us where you're from and how you got into martial arts.
Well, first of all, I'm from Mexico, and that is from Mexico City, which is a quite large city. It's a variety of people from all over the world, like any other international city. You have currently have 30 million people, so just imagine the whole Canada into one city. It's pretty an amazing place to see a lot of things, but there's a lot of pollution and some problems then they come with that conglomeration of super megapolis. So now the reason I got involved into martial arts, it was the crime that was rising at the time. First of all, my parents, they thought that I was really an active kid when I was 7 years old. So they took me to the doctor, thinking that they want to put me in some medicine or some drug to calm me down, because I was a really high-tempered kid. I get so mad, then I used to cry. So the doctor gave my parents 2 options. They say either you put him in martial arts or you give him some drugs. So they say, okay, let's put him in martial arts. And that's how I start.
That's a great story. Now, when you, as a martial arts teacher, interact with your students, what is it that you try and get across to them on an individual level? Like, what is the purpose of martial arts? Is it just strictly to defend yourself, or is there something much deeper than that?
Well, I think it's 3 different types of schools in martial arts today. The number one is the one that give you belts. And so it's the ones that you get, like, your white belt, yellow belt, all these kind of things. So now my personal belief is in today that it's been too commercialized. So that was actually one of the criticisms that actually I write in one of your projects. Then we have today is the schools put like a sense of religion, which is really mystical. And they make it sound like it's a mystical power behind everything. And the third school is basically the people, and they teach self-defense to an extreme, as what we see currently as the UFC and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and everything. I think all the elements and all the martial arts, they have something to offer. That's why they have lasted for, I don't know, the past 2,000 years they've been around. So it's a little bit for everybody according to what they're looking for.
Now, you teach or know different styles of kung fu. What are the different styles, and how do they differ from one another?
Well, originally, the martial arts basically start with a monk, then they call it Daruma Tai Chi or Dan Mo. And this man, he went from India to China to teach the monks how to meditate. So now these monks, they used to fall to sleep in the long meditations. So he developed 18 movements. So in these 18 movements, he called it the 18 hands of Lohan. And from these different movements, that was created the first 5 styles, which was the dragon, the snake, the tiger, the leopard, and the crane. So and after that, they were developed other systems. And overall, it's like around 180 different styles in China, which they're internal and external, meaning like what we know as Tai Chi, or some of the other styles like we know as karate or like their derivative of martial arts from China, because at that time they have a big influence. So they're a little bit more what we call hardcore, which they move really strong instead of soft movements. After those five styles, we just have the more modern styles, like what we know today. Probably the most modern that everybody knows is the Jeet Kune Do, which Bruce Lee created.
Now, I know that you've criticized some of the martial artists for being too traditional. They rely too much on tradition. I know that when it comes to the science of nutrition, and also you've talked about the technique, and you mentioned already that perhaps they have commercialized, the philosophy of martial arts. Now, what is the deficiency in nutrition in martial arts?
Well, the main deficiency is in that all this stuff that they have actually teach through the past, say, 2,000 years, has been emphasized so much in the human body, in the human movement, in the energy, what they call the internal energy, which is the chi. So they emphasize so much into the external physical, in forms, in breaking things, in meditation. So they have a lot to offer. But in terms of nutrition, through the years, I have training with international instructors, and I have traveled in more than 5 countries, and none of them they have actually offered information that is actually good or accurate or well researched about nutrition. So basically what you do is then you training just for passing a test or to go to a competition. But in all these years I have never seen an instructor which really emphasize in what their team is eating to make sure that they perform at their best when they're fighting. And that's what got my interest in nutrition.
So what do you think the athlete today is missing out on when it comes to sports nutrition and nutrition? Or not just the athlete, but just people that are going to the gym. What's wrong with the way people are eating today?
Well, that's a really interesting question, because I started doing weightlifting since I was 16 years old, and currently I'm 40, so I've been quite a bit into the gyms. And I've been in the gyms, in United States, in Canada, in Europe, and in Mexico. And what I find out is, or what really got my attention, I might say, is when I go to gyms, and people and they're working out, they don't look like they go to the gym. So if I was walking in the street and I see this person, I would say, oh, this person needs to work out. So the missing link that people don't get is then basically is 3-to-1. You really need to know your nutrition. Nutrition is going to be 75% to 85% of your success of how you look. To me, and this is in my opinion, is not, I hear in natural healing it says then you are what you eat. And my personal opinion is not then you are what you eat. Is basically you are what you absorb, okay? Because in the gym, you see a lot of people and they have disassociative ideas. They sit down in the bicycle and you see them, okay, I want to do cardio for 30 minutes. So they sit in the bike and they're open a book, they open a magazine, they're watching TV, they're listening to music. There's nothing wrong with this. However, the problem is if you have observed them, they start quite fast. Say you have your 80 RPMs. And then they start reading the book and they start to go into the book. So they lost themselves in the book and you see how they start to slow down. So when they slow down, their body is really easy to get used to this activity and their oxygen intake is not as efficient as should be. So they're not basically efforting themselves. They're not actually improving themselves to get better oxygen. I have done several tests on people. And I have people, and they're like 60 years old with an oxygen intake of a 19-year-old. And sadly enough, I have test people in oxygen intake, and they're 19 years old. Then they have worse oxygen intake than somebody that is 60. So, and that's just in oxygen. So I think then the most important thing for people to understand is that from all the elements of what you eat and what you breathe, they should really pay attention of how much of that actually I'm absorbing to my better benefit.
So where do we start when you get a hold of a client and they approach you and you take them on as a client, as a personal trainer? What are some of the first principles that you try and teach them or get across?
Well, the first principle and I try to teach them is, first of all, I congratulate them. Then they actually they have the courage to know then these certain things then they don't know. And I explain to them the four types of people than they are basically in all types of life. I mean, I have here different qualifications or qualifications to people. But the way then I look at it is then it's four. And we have the people and they have knowledge and motivation, such as yourself. And you have other people and they have motivation, but they have no knowledge. Or they have knowledge and no motivation, or no motivation and no knowledge. So I explain this to them so they can actually identify themselves. Where is it in there in this scope? Then I explain the different types of body type, your mesomorph, endomorph, and an ectomorph, because they have to have realistic goals. So they have to know then if you're somebody with a body like, per se, Michael Jordan, he cannot dream to be like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yet both are great at what they do in sports. So I try to motivate them to see then everybody have a beautiful body, but what you have to first achieve is symmetry in between your muscles, have a good posture, reduce the percentage of body fat to a healthy level so you can go on in a functional life.
There are good personal trainers, and I guess there are the other personal trainers. What makes a great personal trainer great?
I think what makes a great personal trainer, number one, is paying attention in listening to your client. So now what I mean by paying attention, I have seen so many personal trainers and they have so many degrees and they claim to be like so knowledgeable. However, I observe when they train in someone and they get distracted, in other muscles, you can clearly see how they're compensating. So it's a little bit of movement in other areas of the body. So they're not observing then actually the mobility, that's what I call, is adequate. Then that singular joint or multiple joint only, they're moving. So they're really focusing and they're actually perceiving where that exercise is supposed to be working. So many people, they do abdominals to work out their lower abdominals or their shoulders, and they actually don't feel the muscle group when they're working out. And this is a lack of good explanation and from the trainer to pay attention what is it then the person should be doing. They're not communicating properly. The other thing, and it's a mistake, I think, is most people, when they come to a personal trainer, they're not quite educated about what is it then they're looking for and how the body works. They just want to look great. So they tell you, okay, I want to lose my love handles. So I want lots of abdominal exercises. So the problem with this is that the person's trainer, first of all, discourages the person by telling him it's not such a thing of a spot reduction. You and I know that, yeah, it's not such a thing of spot reduction. However, the person that comes to see you is a quite educated man, then probably successful. That's why he's paying a personal trainer to teach him.
So for someone who doesn't know what spot reduction is, what does that mean?
What it means is that a lot of people, they want to reduce just in one particular area. Say, I want to just reduce in my stomach the body fat. So they believe that when you do a lot of abdominals, they're going to reduce the body fat or the fatty tissue then is in our stomach.
So if you have an area where there's fat and you target that area, you just can't lose fat from that area by targeting that area. That's what they mean by spot reduction.
Absolutely.
So that's a myth.
Yeah,
that's a fallacy.
That's a fallacy. However, that's what people still believe. So the way that I actually guide a client is by Michelangelo. Okay, Michelangelo, he see a big piece of marble and then walks around and finds something to motivate him. He see a vision. So the thing is, in that vision that Michelangelo have to start chipping off the big block to make a beautiful like David, is what that person motivate him to come to you. They want to get rid of that fat. So you have to encourage them and, yeah, like give them some exercises so they feel and they work out in that area. And then with time, keep educating them, moving them from an area where they have the motivation without the knowledge to motivation with knowledge to acquire what they're looking for.
So motivation, you keep talking about this. This is a big one, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned knowledge. So a person that has motivation and knowledge, that's ideal. That's the ideal person to work with, the ideal student, and also the ideal master. Where do you think motivation comes from?
Well, motivation is something that drives you, something that you know then you want to achieve, but you don't know how. I think we all have it when we were little children. We were like, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a pilot. But with time, in certain failures in life, we start to actually go into a different direction. We start to lose our dream, and then we start to fall into circumstances. And those circumstances, they lead us to a place that we don't really want to be. That's why the majority of the people, when they die, they say, I wish that I spent more time with my family, with my wife, with my kids, or I wish that I risked to be an actor, a musician, a big businessman, because they don't take those chances like as when you were a kid. So now I come up with an idea at one point, and I realize then we're all falling to the, we're into our comfort zone. You know, we get there, we get comfy, and it's like a Monday morning, and we're all nice and snuggly, and we don't want to get out of bed, you know. So, but the problem with this is then how you want to change what you don't know. I think motivation comes from first wanna to change, and then you have to seek how to change. But to seek how to change, first you have to know where you are. Because if you don't know where you are, and then you're lost. If you find yourself, and now you have direction, now you have the map, and now you have your guide, you know where you want to go. So it's few things that you have to overcome, then people don't realize at times. First, you have to have a plan. I mean, otherwise you plan to fail. You know, that's just a given. And yeah, like winning is a habit. That's absolutely. So you cannot, I mean, think that you're going to win if all your life you think you've been losing. You have to create an idea of not then how you want to lose, but how can you do it? So I really like that phrase, how can I? So your brain actually seek for ideas of how can you do it. As soon as you say that you can't do it, that's when your brain finds reasons why you can't. It goes to the back and says, well, yeah, you have failed at this, you have failed at that. It gives you reasons to fail. But if you say, how can I? And then your brain says, oh, I can find this and this and this reason, or this and this and this motivation. So that start to, that within itself, start to motivate you to say, yeah, I can do this. And you really start to look at that direction.
Now, when I work with people on the floor in the gym, I find that over time, individually, they all hit different walls. And usually it's on an inner level. It's the psychology of who they are, what they're doing, and why. So what are some of the walls that you have discovered in your clients?
Well, I think the big wall, I will say, is the media. The media have given us an idea of what is good looking. So they have told us, okay, the skinny little person that is a model for one of the big companies, and the big guy that is in a magazine and is humongous. So we have this idea, and that's what we want to acquire. So you have a lot of emphasis on people, then they want to gain the muscle, and a lot of people, and they want to reduce the weight. Mainly females, they want to lose the weight, and guys, we want to get big. And people, they don't realize that your self-image and your self-esteem, they go hand to hand. And the problem is when you lose one, it's really difficult to move up to your motivation or that thing you wanted to do. That's why we have so many women, then they're really skinny, and they end up getting like breast augmentations. You have men, and they use steroids to get big. So instead of moving to a healthier society, we're actually moving in the wrong direction, because we don't understand what beauty really is. And that's basically one of the biggest problems, the biggest walls that people have, is that they have this idea in their head of what is perfect, and they can be perfect in their own way, but they don't see it. You know, you have people like Marilyn Monroe. She was one of the most beautiful, most famous persons in the world. And she's not in a skinny, ab-looking kind of person. It's almost like we're going through fashions. And just in the past, I would say 20 years, we have moved to this new idea that have caused a lot of health issues within the society.
Now, it's hard to achieve something that you don't understand. And when it comes to health, which ultimately is what I try and get across to everybody, that is wealth. That is the number one. That's numero uno, health. Mm-hmm. So what is your own personal definition of health?
My personal definition of health is that you have to have balance. And that balance, you have to be in, number one, how you feel about yourself. You have to learn to love yourself, number one. And then you have to learn to have a good relationship with those loved ones, like your wife, your girlfriend, your significant other. And you have to also love what you do for a living. So you have a balance in there. Now, I understand that balance can be compromised, but you have to be conscious of that compromise. So once then it's going tipping too much to your side, so you go more to your family or you go more to your work. But you have to have an equal amount of desire and love for these three aspects in life. That's where true happiness comes from. I have met really rich people, and actually, I'm really disappointed in the level of happiness that I see in these people. Money is not happiness, and we have seen it over and over again through history. It's people with money and fame, and they have killed themselves. And these people, and they're quite poor, and they're quite happy. It's because we let others take over our desire, or they let us know what we want to think. And they guide us. They tell us, okay, this is how you have to be happy. You have to produce and produce and produce, and you have to be happy because you're producing. You're in a job for 12 hours. Meanwhile, your family is suffering. Now you try to spend some time with your family. You don't have enough time to work. So society has created all this disbalance. But I think we always have options, and I think we can take control of these options and decide, okay, I don't want to be a mega millionaire, or if you're already a mega millionaire, like find out other ways to enrich your life and be happy. Otherwise, you're the same than the poor guy. They have no options. You may be a rich guy being bored about your life, or you be a poor person being bored about your life too. So the true health is when you find that beautiful balance, and it's quite achievable.
I find almost everybody wants one of two things. They want to lose body fat, or they want to gain muscle, or they want to do both. So what is your advice to a man, for example, who wants to put on 15, 20 pounds of muscle? He comes in, he hasn't trained for quite some time, maybe he's never trained at all. Maybe he's in his late 30s. But he tells you that he wants to gain some muscle. What is your advice from that point?
Well, from that point, I will first test everything. I want to know, and I want to educate him, about how much oxygen his body is absorbing. That's my number one concern. My number two is his strength. So I will test the different strength and the different muscle groups. The different muscle groups, they cannot be worked out the same way, because we have different symmetry. We have some muscles and they're stronger, some other ones they're weaker. So I will test on that. And I will ask him to write me down what goes through his mouth, from how he breathes, what he drink, what he eat, and of what time he eat and drink. I mean, a lot of people, they think, you tell them, okay, did you drink water? And they tell you, yeah, I drink water. Well, water is not beer, wine, pop, or all these junk food and ideas that we have because it's a liquid. You're consuming liquids. That's not truth. You have to be quality. So I find out what is it that he eats, and I want to emphasize a lot into his eating habits, because without the eating, you cannot build. Those are the building blocks. So just like in the universe, you have find out the chon, we call carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. Those are the four elements, then they become acidic within our body, and then you have another 12 elements, and they go into the carbohydrate area, and then you have like your proteins. But this is very important that people understand. If how you want to build something, or how you want to make a car move if you don't have the right fuel. I mean, you can have a Ferrari and don't have any gasoline in it, so it doesn't go anywhere. You can have an old car that is well maintained and have gasoline, it moves faster than that Ferrari. Or you can have a Ferrari, but if you put diesel, you want to damage it. So that's the number one thing, is going to be always back to nutrition.
I've noticed in a lot of martial artists and teachers that they're not very favorable towards the use of dietary supplements. In fact, they even discourage some of their students from using them. What is your own personal idea relating to using glutamine or amino acids or protein shakes and antioxidants?
Well, my opinion towards those teachers is that they have to understand, first of all, that the pharmaceutical industry is dominated by big corporations. And these big corporations, they have actually numbers in all the pharmaceuticals. So they want to discourage people to buy what actually keep you healthy. So now, what I mean by that is because currently the food, number one, doesn't have enough nutrients. They don't rotate the land. They have a piece of land and they put corn, so they don't change it. So your food doesn't have enough nutrients, and they don't leave 1 year of resting for the land. It's just like a big company. So they cut this food green, and then it's storage. By the time we get it in our house, I think it's more nutritious to eat the box. I mean, it's really pathetic when you see our natural juices, or the juices that you drink, they say come from synthetic. And when you read about a cleaning product, says natural oranges, you know. So when we don't have enough nutrients in the food, so I'm not saying the not to eat the right foods, because a lot of people, they get confused on what a meal supplement is. It's not replacing your food, but it's add to your food what is missing. And definitely the food is missing all these great elements. And one of the experiments that I always tell my clients, and I will tell these teachers to do, is if you grab a piece of a steak and then you chew it, before then you want to swallow it, put it in a filter, like for a coffee or something, just put it in there and see how much goes through it, how much the liquids and the so-called protein will go through. So now if you get your glutamine and you get a protein, you get a shake, and then you blend it, and then you put it in there, and then you will see how many nutrients they go through it. So when something is already processed and it goes through your intestines and it goes through your whole system, it's going to be easily absorbed than if we just choose something and then we run. Besides, what is it that people eating today? They're a bunch of junk food. They eat for breakfast. I mean, they discourage the use of supplementations. However, what they eat for breakfast? Coffee and a toast. And then they go on the run, they eat a bunch of junk food. They're inactive, because basically people get out of bed, go sit down to eat breakfast, go sit down in the car to go to work, sit down at work, come back, sit down to drive home, eat, watch TV. So if an anthropologist was to define this era, I will define it as the sitting inactive and eating junk food kind of people. So I think they have to become more knowledgeable about what they're not recommending and what they are recommending.
So you advocate the use of supplements. You promote the use of natural whole foods. You like people to get in touch with their biochemical uniqueness. You start by testing the performance of your clients. And you get into very important ideas like motivation and goal setting and setting the pace and looking ahead and learning from the past. So it sounds like a very holistic approach that you have. Is this something that you have come to terms with yourself naturally, or is this something that you developed within your own mind as a consequence of what you have learned by your own experience in the world?
Well, I think it was a lot of frustrations, different situations. I think when I started working out when I was 16 years old, that's when some famous company, I don't want to say their name, they started to bring products into Mexico, and they were quite expensive at the time. I went in it and I buy this big bucket, and at the time in pesos was 50,000 pesos, which it sounds like a lot, but for a kid it was a lot of money. The can promised that I will get huge. So I got the can and nothing ever happened. So that was a waste of money. So I decide, okay, maybe it's working out. So I seek in the gym some advice from the big guys, but nobody wants to tell you the big secret. So I start to say, well, the only way to do this is by educating myself. So through years, I start to find out which is the proper techniques. And finally, actually, nutrition. I was talking with a friend, and that's actually how I ended up meeting you, Cody, because I was at the time really interested in understand more in depth at a cellular level how this is happening and how actually our bodies react to foods versus exercises. So when I start talking with you, I start to really realize then how much time we spend in the gym then is wasted and how little we actually emphasize and put the importance of what we're eating, which is basically the most important aspect. I will say, if you go to the gym, let's put it in perspective. If I go to the gym 3 to 4 times a week, well, that's very good. But how many times I eat within the week? Like, if I eat 3 meals a day and I have 7 days, well, there is the math. You can do the math. I mean, we eat all the time and we work out so little. So the intensity of the exercise have to be quality, but also our eating habits have to be quality. If we don't have these two elements of quality, we cannot build. We're basically guide in the wrong direction. And basically that was the missing link that I was looking for years. So when we end up talking about all these ideas, I realize then some of my approaches, probably they were a little too traditional, or I was letting my mind be led by information of people that have actually interest, like monetary interest, to bring their products or bring even their foods. Because let's be realistic. I mean, when we find out who did the pyramid of food, I mean, you have, you read in the bottom who was the one that he promoted, and that was the Dairy Association. So now if you go to, if you don't eat any dairy in your whole life, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to get fat or unhealthy or anything. I mean, you go to France and people eat cheese and they eat wine and they're like in good shape. So basically it's a lot of interest in North America, I will say, to get you to buy this and to buy that. They make us consumers. And that consumption, just look at the amount of people and they're overweight. This is an 85% of Americans, 75 to 85% they're overweight, and 40% they're absolutely obese. And that's because also that same percentage is so dehydrated that their eating system is just so shut down. They don't know if they're thirsty or they're hungry or what they are. So you're thirsty and you say, oh, I'm hungry, so you eat. Oh, I'm hungry. No, you're thirsty. You need to drink more liquids. So if you're not drinking liquids, guess what happened? You end up getting constipated. So some people, they don't even go to the washroom for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. And to me, just imagine what is happening to your system. You just have to remember then a baby. Well, have you ever changed the diapers of a baby? You feed the baby, you have to change the diapers. You feed the baby, you have to change the diapers. And you know, and what will happen with us is that we eat and we have to hold it because we have to work. You know? And we end up getting all this toxicity within our body. And this toxicity so seriously damage our society and our children. And it's basically causing a collapse in the way that we think. Because we cannot think if we have all that toxicity. We'd be more efficient if we have the right elements in our body to be able to think, to behave, and to be motivated. And that's exactly what got me motivated, the health of the future of my family, and exactly what is it that is moving the society, and I feel that it's just greed. So you really have to go and research that thing that is going to get you where you want to go. That is basically, like I say, the missing link is definitely nutrition.
Well, that was extremely motivating.
And I really enjoyed the discussion. Our time is gone. Can you believe it?
No, actually, it's really fast.
These discussions and these interviews are just so rewarding in so many different ways. And I think today we really got into some really good stuff, the real meat of the matter. Now, if anyone would like to pursue a relationship with you or find out more about what you do and who you are, do you have a website that they can log on to?
Yeah, actually, my website is at www.alexorcise.com. And actually, that spells like Alex, and then is C-I-S-C, so it's alexorcise.com. And yeah, you can email me, and you can find some of the information. We're planning to actually to expand the website, so people they understand more how to work out in like with the right elements in the exercise, because that's another industry, that's another topic.
And so again, that's www.alexercise.com. So, to bring our interview to an end, we always like to ask our special guests for a PowerPoint, some kind of a special word of inspiration, a thought that you might have that you may want to share with our listeners.
A thought that I want to share with our listeners is in nothing can really stop you but your negative thinking. So, in order to stop being negative, you have to find ways to think differently.
Alexander Suaste, martial artist, personal trainer, and a contributing author to Module 6 of the CSNA Education Program. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Carl.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Represent his lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.